Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3. KPCG online. We are at kpcg.fm, have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Just what is answered prayer? And how do we get an answer from God? This is a very important question to consider, and we need to think about it and then look into God's Word and see what the answer is. We do need answered prayer in our lives. Prayer is so vitally important, and there is a way to receive answered prayer. Notice Matthew 7, and we'll look at a few passages here today. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We could look at these scriptures together and see what God's Word says about having our prayers answered. Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 7. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So these are some promises from Jesus Christ that we can count on. We can count on God answering our prayers. Now we need to see a little bit more about how we go about praying and asking God. But we do have to ask Him. If we'd like something, we have to ask God for it. And so, of course, that means we have to be in the habit of praying to God. We have to be developing relationship with Him on a daily basis. And we know that God is very aware of our needs. He knows what we need. We can see this in Matthew 6 and verse 8. Matthew 6 and verse 8. Again, Christ says, "For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." So God knows what we need, but He does want us to ask Him. And there's a reason for that. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, Lesson 14. This is a free Bible course at thetrumpet.com. If you haven't signed up for it, please do so. It's a great course, and you'll learn a lot from it. It says, "Just as a beloved son in need may approach his father for help, when we pray, we are petitioning our loving and beneficent," and that means generous, "Father in heaven, to intervene in our lives and in the lives of others." Prayer is a very real, personal, and intimate communication directed to our Heavenly Father. Even though He already knows what we need, as we just read, He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to talk to Him and thereby develop a relationship with Him. God wants us to pray to Him because He wants to develop a relationship with us. That's important to Him. He's building a family, and He wants to develop a relationship with His children. And so even though God knows what we need, He still would like us to ask Him for it. So how do we know that God will hear and answer our prayers? Well, there's a few things that the Bible says about this that are very important, and we have to really pay attention to this. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3 and verse 22. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." So this is one of the conditions to answered prayer. We have to keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So people will pray for different things, and sometimes, you know, that it doesn't seem like there's an answer. Well, we have to then ask, okay, well, are we obeying God? Are we keeping His commandments? That's important. We have to be doing that. Notice 1 John 5 and verses 14 through 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So again, there's a confidence here that we should have, and we should believe God and believe that he'll answer us. But we have to ask according to his will also. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. But obviously, if we prayed for something that was completely wrong, God wouldn't answer that. He wouldn't provide that. You know, he has a will that we need to be following. And it's for our good. There's a lot of things that we might think we'd like, and we think it would be good for us, but God knows better. He knows that it wouldn't be the best for us. So we have to ask according to God's will, and we'll look in a minute at how we can know God's will. Notice this passage in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So there's another element here that we need. We need to be thankful, to have thanksgiving, to be thankful for what God gives to us. And so as we look at these different passages and we put them together, we can see this picture forming of how we need to be praying and how we can make sure that God will hear us and answer our prayers. Notice Matthew 21, another important point. Matthew 21, going back to what Jesus Christ was saying. And verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith," that's important here as well, "if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree," picking this up, you know, sort of mid-flow here, and you can go back and read about the fig tree and what he's talking about there. But it says, "But also if you shall say unto this mountain, be you removed, and be you cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So we see a lot of different components here that we have to put all together and incorporate them into our prayer life. Notice this quote from Lesson 14 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "Real answered prayer is a divine, supernatural, direct answer from Almighty God himself." So that answers our first question. What's an answered prayer? Well, real answered prayer is a divine, supernatural, direct answer from Almighty God himself. And then how do we know that we can have that? Well, continue with this quote. "It is the result of obeying his commandments and laws, seeking according to his will in an attitude of thanksgiving, and then believing in faith until the answer comes." And you see, that's a quote that puts all these scriptures together. We need to be obeying his commandments and laws. We need to ask according to God's will and do so in an attitude of thanksgiving and have faith and believe until the answer comes. And we might need some patience there. We probably will need some patience to see how God will answer and make sure that we wait until that he does. God then promises that if he has to move mountains for us or perform other extraordinary feats, he will. You know, if there was a need to move a mountain, God would do it. Now, that need doesn't come around too often, but if it did, God would do it. But there's plenty of other things that happen in life that are like that. You know, it seems like this mountain, and then if we're praying in the right way and really looking to God, then he makes a path for us. He moves that mountain. Whatever he needs to do, he'll do it, as long as we're following this instruction from God's word, obeying God's commands and laws, asking according to his will in an attitude of thanksgiving, and then believing in faith until the answer comes. Now, one important point is that we have to ask according to God's will. We just looked at that. And so then the next natural question is, well, how do I know what God's will is? Well, let's see what the Bible says. James 4, let's note this. James 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust, and have not, and kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So we see an example here of unanswered prayer. Somebody asking not according to God's will, but asking for something that they can consume upon their lusts. And the fruits of that are just the fighting and the warring and all of the things we just read about there. So we want to make sure that we're not asking amiss. We don't want to ask for the wrong thing. We want to ask according to God's will. Because if we don't ask according to God's will, we're not going to receive what we ask for. So how do we know what God's will is? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 gives us a really straightforward answer on this point. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is where Bible study comes into play. How do we know the will of God? Well, by studying the word of God. God reveals his will in his word. And as we read about there in James 4, you know, if we're just asking for things because we're wanting to consume it on our lusts, well, that's not going to be good for us. And God won't answer those prayers. He won't give us something that's bad for us in that sense. So we need to know what his will is. That's what we have to be studying and finding out about by looking in to God's word, into the Bible. And that's, again, where this correspondence course comes in very handy, because it puts a lot of the work in already to where you can go through and study it systematically. And you can find these different scriptures and see what the picture that God paints there in the Bible is. You have to put different scriptures together and see what his will is. And even though maybe not every individual situation will be spelled out exactly in the Bible, you can look at the principle. You can look at the principle and make a decision from that and see what God's will is. You know, is it according to his commandments? Well, that's a big question that must be answered. It has to be according to God's word, according to his commandments, according to the principles of his law. Studying God's word, that's how we know what his will is. And it takes a little bit of work, but it's very rewarding. And then we can confidently ask God for his will because we know what it is. Notice this quote again. It's from Lesson 14 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "By studying God's will, which is revealed in the Bible, you will begin to think more as God thinks, and you will come to know that God is love and that his will is for our good." God only wants good for us, and he works to, you know, provide that for us. So we know his will is good for us. Sometimes that means we have to have a little patience and wait for something, or sometimes we have to go through a particular test or trial, but ultimately, God's will is for good. The quote continues, it says, "God made you a free moral agent. You must choose to rely on him, to humble yourself, recognize your innate weaknesses, and depend on him for the spiritual strength you need." And of course, there's faith there, faith-filled works that are necessary. If we believe God like we should, well, then we'll go and do what he says. And he tells us to ask for what we need. He tells us to come to him and ask according to his will. And if we believe that, well, then we'll be studying God's word and we'll be praying for his will to be done and really striving to apply his law in our lives. So it's a faith-filled work that we need. And I mean, all the scriptures that we've read here about prayer, it's also hopeful, and it's so full of faith, you know, believing that God will answer, believing that he will do what he says. And so we can have faith in that, but we have to choose to rely on him and realize that we need help and go to God for that help that we need. The quote says, when you do go to God in prayer and study, it says, "Your prayers will accomplish a miraculous change in your life through the power of his Spirit. So pray to God every day. It's a need. It's a daily need every day. Continually, regularly, fervently, and expect God to answer." And we should, you know, just based upon the scriptures that we read, we should expect God to answer. It says, "Then you will achieve the very purpose for which you were born," which is developing God's character and ultimately being born into his family at the return of Jesus Christ. So we can expect God to answer our prayers as long as we're obeying his commandments and his laws, asking according to his will in an attitude of thanksgiving, and then believing in faith until the answer comes. Having patience and waiting. And that can be one of the hardest things. You know, people can have faith for a little while, but then if they don't immediately get the answer, or they don't get it within a, you know, a shorter time frame, then it's easy to start to doubt. But again, we've got to believe in faith until the answer comes. God promises to answer, but he doesn't promise the timetable. That's according to his will, but it helps us to grow in patience as we learn to wait for him, to trust him, and it strengthens our faith. And it's good for us to not have everything immediately, but sometimes he does answer immediately when that's a need. And so we can really trust God to answer our prayers as long as we're doing our part in it. There's a lot more to learn about this in this particular lesson of the correspondence course. It's lesson 14. Make sure you sign up for the course. Also, we have a book that's devoted entirely to this subject, and the title is How to Pray, and that gets into a lot of very important and specific details, and it's a great how-to manual, and that's free at thetrumpet.com. It's an educational service, so please request that as well, or if you'd like to just read it online, you can read it there or download the PDF, whatever you prefer to do, but that information is there for you to use, and it's an educational service. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.